Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you're with us today. We've got a great series going on. We're in the second part of a three-part series on staying in love, and we've got just a wonderful show to go through today, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. You can find out all about us at our website, 721ministries.org. 721ministries.org. We've got past radio shows on that site. We've got charts that you can download, exercises that you can take, 721ministries.org. And we have a sister website, puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. We've got devotions on that website. We've got our two devotional books that we've had out that we've gotten great reviews on. So check us out at puttinggreenblog.com. Now, today, we're on a second show of a three-show series, and I have my dear friend and brother in the studio with me to do these three shows. Welcome back, Irv.
So glad to be back again this week, Sam.
Listen, and you can go back to our 721ministries.org website and pick up three previous three-part series that Irv and I did together, the dating series, the busyness series, the body, mind, and spirit series. We did those three series because we could see the state of dating in America and what a disaster it was. We did the business series because we could look around and see that people were so busy and distracted that they were missing what's most important in life and certainly missing Jesus. And we did the body, mind, and spirit series because we were compelled to deliver the message that all three have to be in harmony. And we're doing these three shows on staying in love so that your marriage will thrive. It's important to us, isn't it, Irv?
Because the stones are crying out.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yes. So, these three shows, we're going to share with you what we've learned about dealing with marriage in the 15 years of men's ministry, dealing with married couples in every kind of marriage situation possible. If you can only imagine what we get to see when you pull the curtain back. We're also combining Irv's 33 years of marriage, right, Irv?
That's right. Just celebrated.
And my 2.5 years of marriage. So perhaps we'll combine all the things we've learned to do and not to do in this. Much of what we're going to talk about comes from Andy Stanley's pretty recent series, What Happy Couples Know, and a little bit older series, Staying in Love. Our purpose, our desire, is for you and your wife, you and your husband, not just to survive, which far too many of you are doing, but to actually thrive in your marriage. Not just to get along, but to love each other richly and what else, Irv, to actually?
Actually like each other. And the whole idea here is our prayer is to bump the trajectory of marriages by providing this message that the Lord's put on our heart.
Bump the trajectory of your marriage. I know you want that. See, my parents were married for 67 years. Irv's parents have been, they're still alive. They've been married forever. And everyone tells you that a good marriage takes work, but they don't tell you the details. Really, I don't think, Irv, anyone ever said to me, for your marriage to thrive, you must be energetic. You cannot be lazy. You must be proactive, purposeful, and what else, Irv?
You've got to have a plan, Sam. You've got to have a plan.
Got to have a plan. What is that saying you have about having a plan?
Oh yes. That stole that one from Andy as well. Falling in love takes a pulse. Staying in love takes a plan. Falling in love is about attraction. Staying in love is about a plan of action. You got to have a plan.
So you talk about a plan and a plan of action. Can't I just feel in love all the time?
Oh no. You've got to, as you said, you've got to be focused and intentional.
So we concluded our first show last week with the idea that love is not a noun. It is no longer a noun. Love is a verb. What is it, Irv, that couples need to know, couples who stay together and thrive?
Yep. Couples that stay in love realize that you have to make love a verb. It's, again, not a situation that is like a swimming pool you fall into or a high chair you fall out of. Jesus takes that word love and changes it from a noun to a verb. It's something that you do. The definition that we came up with that actually I think I got from Tony Evans was love is a choice.
Love is a choice.
Sometimes accompanied by emotion that leads to action on behalf of its object. You and I blow by that because you've heard me say it so many times.
Yes.
But for everyone needs to understand, love is a choice.
Choice.
Sometimes you feel like it. sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. But it always leads to action on behalf of its object. It is to will for the good of the other.
Mm-hmm. So, love is a choice. It's a choice you make. Love is a verb, and that's how you make that choice, by making love a verb. Sometimes accompanied by emotion. So it's not just a feeling whenever you feel like it.
That's right.
And it takes action. That's where we come into the part where you cannot be lazy. Mm-hmm. You've got to be proactive, intentional, purposeful.
That's right. Yeah. I think Toby Mac sings a song, love is a verb. It's something that you do.
Mm-hmm. So that's our first show, and you can go back and pick that up on the website, 721ministries.org. But now today, we want to start with this idea of you are more important than I. You are more important than I.
Yeah, you keep saying that, Sam. I know you're trying to be proper, but I think the way I'd say it is, you're more important than me.
That's not the best grammar. The proper grammar is you're more important than I, but let's go with yours for the rest of the show. Our scripture passage for this show, we find in Philippians 2:3, the Holy Spirit through Paul saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition, don't miss that word, selfish ambition, or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. Now, that's a wonderful, wonderful platitude, and we're going to dig into that in a moment, but here's why. In your relationships with one another, in your marriage, with your husband, with your wife, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Wow. Or what's the point? What's the Holy Spirit telling us?
Well, you have to let that scripture just wash all over you, and it's an absolutely perfect scripture for what we're talking about here. Now, we first have to acknowledge, or you and I would agree, that humility is something we struggle a bit with.
You struggle with it. I've been humble all my life.
I understand, brother, that you, by that statement, you convict yourself.
Yes.
But what we think here, or what I think about, is C.S. Lewis gives us a good picture of what humility is. As it says here, Christ humbled himself. Humility is the word. And that word, C.S. Lewis reminds us, is it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Okay? So humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
Thinking of yourself less.
Less.
And C.S. Lewis, in that writing, adds to this. He says, when you meet a truly humble person, that's not what you're going to first think. You're just going to think they're wonderful to be around.
Right. And how interested they were in you.
In you. And imagine if you were that with your spouse.
No question. I mean, that we're back to the A-plus marriage. Mm. What we've got to move from selfish to selfless. Mm. Because here, I want everyone to hear this clear. The message today is the number one enemy to intimacy in your marriage, to getting you to that place where you can stay in love, the number one enemy is selfishness. Mm. That's it. Selfishness.
Not communication. That's down the ladder. It's self, and it's selfishness.
That's right. And the antidote to selfishness is you're more important than me. Mm-hmm. And that's critical. You're more important than me.
Now, we're going to tease that out in just a moment, but let me just insert here again, as we always want to be sure we emphasize, you cannot do this on your own. We're giving you principles. We're giving you a plan. We're giving you things you can actually do to make love a verb. And it's very important that you actually start to do these things. But at the same time, you want to become the kind of person who thinks this way, who lives this way. You want this to be down in your DNA, right?
That's right. The kind of person that makes love a verb, and the kind of person that says and treats others, you're more important than me.
Because they actually feel that way.
That's exactly right.
Because they've gotten off of the throne of self, and they've realized it's not all about me.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, you and I have discussed this a number of times. I've just recently had two of my seven children have gotten married recently. And really, at every marriage that I go to, it's just a part of what I do while I'm there is I'll make the groom and the bride stand up, and I'll have each of them point at the other's heart, and I'll have them say three times, "You're more important than me." Looking into each other's eyes, "You're more important than me. You're more important than me." That's the key. That's the antidote to selfishness, Sam.
You're more important than me.
That's right.
The world doesn't say that.
No, no. But this passage says it very clearly. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're back to Jesus. Certainly Jesus, in going to the cross for us, was saying, I'm putting your deal in front of my deal. Right?
Jesus modeled for us in his entire life, and then at the end of his life, his sacrifice of his life, dying to self. Dying to self, because as Irv said just a moment ago, self is your number one enemy. As a matter of fact, when you read Scripture and you see the word flesh, just substitute self. And when you see the word sin, you're pretty safe to substitute self, because self leads to sin. Sin comes from self.
Absolutely.
And that is why we read in the Scripture, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the other. You're more important than me.
And see, that's what's so beautiful about this, Sam. These messages, these principles, these three principles the Lord has put on our heart. Yes, we're speaking about marriage, and we're speaking about the way that you and your spouse can stay in love. But look what our Heavenly Father's doing. At the same time, He's transforming us into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's His message. That's why marriage is so important to Him, because it does transform
us. It does transform us, more so than any other thing that you'll find in your life. We're going to jump right back on this in the second part of the show. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I have my great friend Irv Philpott in the studio with me. We're talking about staying in love. We're talking about your marriage thriving. We're talking about bumping the trajectory of your marriage. And at the same time, our heartfelt desire is that we bump the trajectory of your relationship with Jesus. And so this is not just about your marriage. And as a matter of fact, even though we're giving you a plan to follow, to make love a verb, you have to become the kind of person that lives and feels this way from the heart. Right, Irv?
That's right. Yeah. Again, our principles to make love a verb being from last week and today, you're more important than me, they point us to the fact that in our marriages, our Heavenly Father uses marriage. Marriage, we've been told many times, marriage is the institution most used by God to shape and mold men into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no spotlight, very little applause, and a whole lot of serving.
Yes.
Sounds like Jesus to me.
Yes.
But, so we see that as we apply these principles to our lives, that the Lord is going to use that to transform us more and more into the likeness of His Son.
You are going to have to learn to die to self. As your Heavenly Father did throughout the Old Testament, and just imagine all the times that right there in the garden, Adam and Eve, your Heavenly Father dies to self and says, I'm going to love them anyway. He continues that pattern all the way through. Jesus continues that pattern. Marriage is the institution most used by God to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. You use the words shape and conform. That's not always easy. That's not always fun.
Can be a little painful sometimes.
Can be a little painful. But to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus, more and more you will live this life that we're talking about, and it will become a part of an A-plus marriage. So we finished the first half of the show saying, you're more important than I, that Irv has couples point at each other's heart and say this three times, you're more important than me, you're more important than me, you're more important than me. Well, recently, Irv, you were just sharing with me in one of our conversations something you got a high beam from the Lord about love is.
Yes, love is more about giving than it's about getting. And I think it.
No, but I like to get, Irv.
Oh, I understand. We all like that, no question about it. But our Heavenly Father knows as you were just saying, the more and more we become like his son, the more and more we move not only to the A-plus marriage, mm-hmm. but the A-plus life. Mm-hmm. And the whole point here that I think the Lord put on my heart was I was thinking about what can Paula do for me? Mm-hmm. What's in this for me? Mm-hmm. Or what do I deserve?
Mm-hmm. I deserve more. I don't deserve this. I deserve more than
exactly.
Yes. Yes.
And my Heavenly Father took me to the passage, of course, John 3:16, mm-hmm. where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave mm-hmm. his only Son, mm-hmm. that whoever believes in him would not perish but would receive eternal life." Mm-hmm. Now think about that. So our Heavenly Father is sitting here saying, "Because I loved, I gave." Mm-hmm. And that just, I mean, I'm telling you, that woke me up in the middle of the night or woke me up and got mm-hmm. me out of bed. This whole concept that I'm thinking about this totally wrong. To love is to give. That's more important, much more important. And it energizes you. It makes your life better. All this me, and pulling in into self is just a dark place.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, this me, this get, you're just shrinking. Your whole soul is just shrinking into this darkness, stinginess. There's no happiness. There's no joy in that.
Yes. Because, again, our target here for the whole concept of this principle of you're more important than me is the A-plus marriage is two servants in love.
Oh, wait a minute. Say that again.
The A-plus marriage is to have two servants in love.
Two servants.
Servants
in love.
Love. You remember, again, from Andy, it's a submission competition.
I like that.
It's a submission competition. It's a race to the end of the line. Was it the chipmunks?
To the back of the line.
To the back of the line.
Yes.
You first. No, you first. Yeah. No, I insist. You first.
Yes.
That's what it needs
yes.
to look like.
Yes.
Let that wash over you.
Yes.
You first.
Yes.
No, you first.
Yes.
Now, here's the beautiful thing. This is the beautiful, beautiful thing. When one spouse gets this, when one of the two gets it, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm.
But I'm going to tell you, Sam, if you come across where both spouses get it, where the two get it, that they understand that this submission competition, that it's a race to the back of the line, people will come across the street to see that,
yes.
Sam. I mean, that is the kind of thing that you want to be a witness to the world of what Christ can do in a life.
Yes.
You have a marriage like that.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, people come from all around to see that.
And when we talk about a submission competition, a race to the back of the line, you have every day, I'm going to say 1,000 times a day, but certainly you have many opportunities to just say, well, you know what, let's do it your way. Mm-hmm. I think my way is better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my way is more efficient or more logical, or I just want to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's do it your way instead. That's what we're talking about, right?
I defer to you.
Mm-hmm. It's not groveling. It's not being a doormat. And if you're doing all of this in love and living in the kingdom, you don't have to worry about being a doormat. You don't have to worry about your spouse walking over you because you've been submitting. He will bless you in this.
There's absolutely no question. And of course, that is the objection that you hear sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? I'm going to say you're more important than me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might get run over. My rights might get trampled upon.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yes.
So what? That's the whole point. The whole point, you're becoming more like Christ
right.
in this.
Right.
And again, as you said, what you and I have found experientially is when we live our lives in this place, the Lord pours on us blessing
yes.
from our spouse and from all over that far outweighs anything we've given up, any right we may have lost.
The harmony, the peace, the shalom.
Mm-hmm.
When you are looking to serve your spouse, when you are looking to submit, when you're looking to say, you know what, let's do it your way. Let's do it your way. And not just let's do it your way with a surrender or a scowl on your face or anything like that. I actually want to do it your way. I'm happy to do it your way.
It's all about attitude.
Isn't that?
And I'll promise you, gentlemen, your wife, she'll know.
She'll know. Yeah. And wives, your husband will know.
Yeah.
We have a joke with one of our friends who says there's 34 ways a wife can say fine, and none of them mean fine.
That's right.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about from the heart saying, it suits me fine to do it your way. Now, Irv, the culture, this world that, by the way, you are saturated in, you're listening to me today, you're never going to hear what we're talking about out in this world, in this culture. But this culture says, I'll do my part if...
Oh, yes. The world sells that marriage is a contract, all right? Mm. And we all know what a contract looks like. Mm. A contract says, I'll do my part if you do yours.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't do yours, there's a penalty attached.
Absolutely. I have to punish.
I have to punish.
There has to be some sort of punitive aspect to your not performing.
So a contract in your marriage, and if this is stinging you right now, it's because that's how you're living. Because this is what our self takes us to. This self-seeking, this self-absorption, this selfishness takes us into the contract aspect of it instead of how your Heavenly Father has always set it up. Instead of a contract, it's a
marriage covenant. It's a marriage covenant.
What's the difference?
It's critical. This is a critical distinction, and this is where our whole principle of you're more important than me comes home, is in how our Heavenly Father explains this. This is not a marriage contract. Get that out of your head. Mm-hmm. It is not about the legal term. I'm an attorney. It's not mm-hmm. quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. You do and I do. Mm-hmm. It is the covenant says, I'll do my part whether you do yours or not. Mm-hmm. That's what a covenant says. The covenant says, I'm going to do my part whether you do yours or not. Mm-hmm. It's not based on your performance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it whether you do yours or not.
Now, the trap that you're going to fall into, and that you have already fallen into, and that we are prone to fall into, is he's not doing his part. She's not doing her part. So I'm not going to do my part. I'm tired of it. I've done my part, and they're not, so I'm shutting down.
That's right. And what you and I have discussed about that is whenever you get that feeling, just realize, I want to take the punch here for mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to choose to go ahead and do my part and to live up to that standard. I'm going to answer the call from heaven and do what my Heavenly Father would do. I'm going to do what Jesus would do if he were me now.
Yes. And what he did do over and over and over and looks to us to do. So you don't have, when you're living in the kingdom, it's perfectly safe to follow Jesus's example. Mm. You're more important than me. I will outserve you because my heart is in it, because I don't really think I'm the most important. It's not all about me. I'm not walking around with a mirror that we've talked about in past shows where all I can think about is how does this affect me? What does this mean to me? And as we said earlier, you don't have to worry about he'll walk all over me, she'll walk all over me. When you're living in the kingdom and you're following Jesus' example and you're following the teachings, he'll protect you.
That's right.
He'll protect you.
He'll give you abundantly more.
Immeasurably abundantly more than anything you could ask or imagine. And that's the marriage you want, my friend. That is the marriage that you want, that abundantly more, that thriving marriage. But it is going to take you making love a verb. Love is a choice. Tell us that again, Irv.
Yeah, we always got to come back to that. Define that term. Love is a choice, sometimes accompanied by emotion, that leads to action on behalf of its object. Love is a verb. Mm-hmm. Principle one, make love a verb.
Mm-hmm. Principle two, you are more important than me. You are more important than me. And in my heart, because I'm surrendering my heart to Jesus, and I'm not walking around with my little royal crown on and my flowing robes, as C.S. Lewis says, like the little idiots we are when we trot around feeling like we're the most important person in the room, when your heart starts to shift, your marriage starts to shift.
That's right. Because again, principle number two, the number one enemy to intimacy in your marriage, to being that couple that stays in love, is selfishness. Mm. And the antidote for selfishness is to live your life in that place where you say to the other, you are more important than me. Mm. Mm.
As we've said in previous shows, in this world you will have trouble, but trouble becomes conflict when you make it about me. Trouble becomes conflict when you make it about me, and you have that choice over and over and over. Irv, any last words on this show?
All I would say again, Sam, is it is our prayer that wherever you are right now or when you see your spouse next, you point at their heart and you say to them, you're more important than me. And may you choose to stay in love.
May you come to know that love is about giving, not getting. And may you always remember that when it comes to your spouse, yes, she or he is more important than you, and that will transform your marriage. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.